Good morning, and welcome back to America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th Anniversary Edition. Today is day 59 of the year, Saturday, February 28th, 2026. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are continuing our weekend historical deep dive, and today we are picking up right where we left off. The Civil War has just ended. Abraham Lincoln has just been assassinated at Ford's Theater. The entire country is in a state of absolute shock and mourning. And stepping into the Oval Office to guide a shattered nation is a man who is widely considered one of the worst presidents in American history. We are looking at the 17th president, Andrew Johnson.
Stephen, to understand how much of a disaster Andrew Johnson's presidency was, you first have to understand why he was even the vice president to begin with. Because he wasn't a Republican like Lincoln. He was a lifelong Democrat from Tennessee. And his background is rough. He was born into brutal poverty in North Carolina. He was an illiterate tailor's apprentice who ran away to Tennessee. His wife actually had to teach him how to read and write. And because he grew up so poor, he had this furious, deeply ingrained hatred for the wealthy, aristocratic plantation owners in the South.
He despised them. So when the Civil War broke out and Tennessee seceded from the Union, Andrew Johnson, who was a U.S. senator at the time, refused to leave his seat in Washington. He was the only Southern senator from a seceding state who remained loyal to the United States, and that made him a massive hero in the North. So when Lincoln was running for re-election in 1864, the country was exhausted by the war. Lincoln needed to show that he was running a bipartisan unity government, so he temporarily rebranded the Republicans as the National Union Party and put the Southern War Democrat Andrew Johnson on the ticket.
It was purely a political calculation. Nobody ever expected Lincoln to die. In fact, Johnson's very first impression on the national stage was an absolute embarrassment. When he was sworn in as vice president, he was recovering from typhoid fever. To deal with the pain, he drank heavily before the ceremony. He showed up to the Senate chamber, visibly intoxicated, gave a slurring, rambling speech, and basically had to be hidden away from the public for weeks.
And just weeks later, Lincoln is dead. Suddenly, this illiterate tailor from Tennessee is the most powerful man in the world. And the radical Republicans in Congress, the men who really wanted to punish the South and protect the newly freed slaves, were actually thrilled at first. Because Johnson kept saying treason must be made odious and traitors must be punished and impoverished. They thought he was going to drop the hammer on the Confederacy.
But then Congress went home for a recess. And while they were gone, Johnson launched what we now call presidential reconstruction. And it was a massive betrayal. Johnson hated the rich plantation owners, yes, but he was also a virulent, unapologetic racist. He had zero interest in providing civil rights or voting rights to the millions of newly freed African Americans. So he just started handing out sweeping presidential pardons. He gave the former Confederates all their confiscated land back. He let them hold elections and take over the state governments again. It was as if the Civil War had never even happened.
And because he put the exact same people back in power, those Southern state legislatures immediately passed the Black Codes. These were horrific laws. They made it illegal for a black person to own a gun or to leave a farm without permission. If a black man didn't have a job, he could be arrested for vagrancy and literally auctioned off to a white farmer to work off his fine. It was an incredibly blatant attempt to recreate slavery under a different name.
So when the Republicans come back to Washington and see this, they absolutely lose their minds. And this triggers the greatest constitutional war between a president and Congress in American history. Congress passes the Civil Rights Act of 1866 and a bill to expand the Freedmen's Bureau, which was designed to build schools and protect the newly freed population. Andrew Johnson vetoes both of them. He openly argues that the federal government shouldn't be giving special protections to black people. So Congress overrides his vetoes. That had never happened before on a major piece of legislation.
And the relationship just completely deteriorates. Congress realizes that Johnson is trying to sabotage Reconstruction. So they pass a law called the Tenure of Office Act. It basically said the president could not fire his own cabinet members without the Senate's approval. They did this specifically to protect Edwin Stanton, the Secretary of War. Stanton was Lincoln's guy, and he was the one actually controlling the military occupation of the South to protect the freedmen.
Johnson completely ignores the law and fires Stanton anyway. In fact, Stanton refused to leave. He literally barricaded himself inside his office at the War Department for weeks. But because Johnson violated the law, the House of Representatives finally snapped. On February 24, 1868, they voted to impeach Andrew Johnson. He was the very first president in United States history to be impeached. The trial moves to the Senate, and it is a complete circus. The entire country is holding its breath to remove him from office. The Senate needed a two-thirds majority,
and they fell short by exactly one vote. A Republican senator named Edmund G. Ross of Kansas broke ranks and voted not guilty, arguing that you can't just remove a president because you disagree with his politics. So Johnson survives. But his presidency is effectively dead. For the rest of his term, Congress just ignores him completely. They pass the 14th Amendment and push forward with radical Reconstruction without him.
We should mention one thing his administration did accomplish, though. His Secretary of State, William Seward, negotiated the purchase of Alaska from the Russian Empire for $7.2 million. At the time, the press mocked it. They called it Seward's folly and Johnson's polar bear garden. But obviously, history proved that buying Alaska was an absolute geopolitical masterstroke.
It was the one bright spot in an otherwise catastrophic presidency. By pardoning the Confederates and blocking civil rights, Andrew Johnson allowed white supremacy and domestic terrorism, like the Ku Klux Klan, to deeply embed themselves in the post-war South. He set civil rights back by nearly a century.
The tailor who became president by accident.
The man who survived impeachment by a single vote.
That is Andrew Johnson.
That is our profile for the 17th president. Tomorrow, we conclude the weekend with the general who won the war, Ulysses S. Grant. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.